So many of our Lord's parables have to do with farming. The question was visiting a farmer in Maine. He said, "How big is your farm?" The maniac, the farmer in Maine, replied, "Well, it goes from the road to the clump of trees over there and then across to the creek." "Why, how big is your farm?" "Well," the person replied, I can get up my truck and drive an hour before I even get to the edge of my farm." "Really?" said the farmer from Maine. "I used to have a truck like that." Of course, farming has changed a great deal since the first century. For example, we don't scatter seeds anymore, as described in this parable. We plant in rows so that all the seeds have good soil and water and light and so forth. But this is not really a story about farming, it's a story about faith. It's a descriptive look at the environment of our faith in which faith is able to take root and grow or not. It's called the parable of the sower, but we might say it's really the parable of the soil. As farmers did in those days, the planter scatters the seed as he plants. Some fall on the barren walkway, and they become food for the birds. Some fall on the rocky ground next to the path. They spring up quickly, but soon wither because there's not much soil there to take root in. Some seeds land among thorns, probably next to the rocky ground. And they grow up along with the weeds, but they're eventually choked out by them. And then some seeds land in good soil, where they're supposed to be, and produce a great harvest. What does it all mean? Jesus spoke many times in short stories, the parables. Many of those in the crowd that day were told just didn't get it. And so later Jesus explained the meaning to his disciples. Those on the barren walkway lack understanding, so the seed doesn't even take root. Those on the rocky ground have an abundance of joy, but lack endurance. Those among thorns do listen, but unfortunately don't discriminate. They're distracted by worldly concerns, and their faith is eventually choked out. The kingdom harvest is found in the rich soil. What are our kingdom lessons for us in each place that the seed is scattered? Note where Jesus began, the hard pathway, where no seeds are going to take root. He does not say that the planter does his best to keep the seeds off of the path when he throws them out there. The planter, instead, hopelessly scatters seeds there too, because God does not give up hope on anyone. And that's a great mystery. Even if he knows that we will not accept the seeds of faith, he still insists on free will and equal opportunity. 1 Timothy 2, 4 and 5 says, "God desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And when we say invite your friends to church, be like Jesus. Don't just invite those who would come, invite those who wouldn't come as well. Well, the second category, those that fall on the rocky ground, there's another harsh reality there too. And that is that not every disciple perseveres to the end. Let us never forget that even among the disciples who were chosen to be the 12 patriarchs of the new, renewed Israel, there were only 11 when our Lord ascended into heaven. And Matthew's Gospel tells us that of those who were left, some doubt. There are two types of believers, those who wither sooner or later, and those who are strong and bear much fruit. Jesus said those who bear fruit prove or demonstrate their discipleship. St. Paul perhaps drew the distinction between the two in today's epistle. He wrote to the Roman church, "You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." And he later noted, "For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship." And with that idea of sonship comes strength and confidence in God's fellowship. These roots of faith are what help us endure and persevere. Jesus explained that those in the rocky soil immediately fall away when tribulation or persecution comes along. It's what we used to mean by the old phrase, fair weather friends. Remember that? Casual acquaintances are broken up by tribulation. But for friendships with deep roots, nothing should break them up. Which one of those characterizes your relationship to God? Are you God's fair weather friend? Or does your relationship have deep roots? Well, sadly, we often don't know until tough times come along. That's why St. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." God gives us the chance to deepen our soil so that our roots of faith can grow stronger. Well, the third category, those that fall among the thorns, should be a wake-up call. The worldliness that chokes out faith is found inside the church as well. Outside the church is not even indispensable. Everywhere the seed gathers and begins to sprout up, that's the church. If you do not dig deep into the rich soil of the church's tradition, do not expect that you will remain unconfused and undistracted. The written word, the Bible, is a source of renewed clarity in a world that is so often defective and seductive. And so those who teach the word are held especially accountable. The Epistle of Jude is probably the harshest statement on this. There we get a solemn warning against false teachers in Jude 1:3-7. "Dear friends," he writes, "although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation that we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah, the surrounding towns, gave them up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Even the church is not always a safe place when it comes to sound teaching. That's why St. Paul wrote to his young bishop, Timothy, that he had left in Ephesus, "I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves in great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Well, going back to the farm motif in the parable, our blessed Lord has left us with land, a lot of expertise, all the farming equipment we would ever need, an endless supply of fresh seed, as well as sunshine and water on tap. And what do we do with it? Well, too often, we leave the expertise trapped in closed books, gathering dust. We leave the farming equipment in the yard to rust. And we let the seeds go unscattered and unplanted. The sunshine goes unused and the well untapped. And then we look at the dormant field and wonder, where's the harvest? Our hearts seem so barren. Well, here's where the parable analogy begins to break down. Your seed doesn't have to stay where it's planted. That is, if you were in the rocky ground, you are not destined to wither. If you are among the thorns, your seed doesn't have to be so sad. Christ gives us all the opportunity to have rich soil where the seeds of faith can take deep root and grow a rich harvest. As Jesus said, the good soil is the person who hears the word and who understands. And God gives understanding to all that. So it's time to get back to the basics, back to the Bible. Pull it off the shelf, dust off the cover, crack the spine, and read for ourselves. It's time to bend the knee, to build deep roots of prayer, communication with God. It's time to fast, to examine our consciences, to make a sacramental confession to a priest and be absolved. Catechism, 9:15 to 9:45, or by appointment. And by the way, I wouldn't say that unless I were ready for penitence. My last confession was June 18th. It's time not to just come to Mass, but to pray the Mass, to join in Christ in offering ourselves along with His sacred body and blood to the Father in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. It's time to put those Eucharistic graces that were received to good use. It's time to build our community of faith, to encourage one another in perseverance, in trials and tribulations, to strengthen one another. It's time to live lives of holiness. But as St. Paul puts it several times, to live lives worthy of your calling. In short, it is time for rich soil and deep roots. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee who has planted Thy holy name within our hearts. Knowledge and faith and life immortal, Jesus Christ unto us in part. Thou, Lord, didst make all for Thy pleasure, didst give us food for all our days, giving in Christ the bread eternal. Thine the power, be Thine the praise. Watch over Thy church, O Lord, in mercy. Save it from evil, guard it still. Perfect it in Thy love. Unite it. Cleansed and conformed unto Thy will. As grain once scattered on the hillside was in that broken bread made one, so from all lands may Thy church be gathered into Thy kingdom by Thy Son, to the same Christ our Lord. Amen.